So Numbers chapter 13, and what I was would like to share on today is, do you have God's word for it? Numbers 13. Maybe I'll get there myself. There is an inestimable value to having God's word on something. And it's something and a value that a lot of people don't give it that's worth it. Like, more people do not understand, more people don't realize the inestimable value of having God's word on something. In number 13 is that record we are well aware of, when the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land in Kadesh Barnea. In verse 1 it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And then lists the men that are sent. And down in verse 16, it says, "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be a good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. There's no mention in that section as to Moses saying to them, that whether they should go into the land or not. He did not send the spies to determine whether they should go into the land or not. It does not say that. It says what he asked them to do was go take a look at the land. Look at Deuteronomy. Well, keep your fingers here, but Deuteronomy 1, when he's recounting this again, gives us a little more information. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Had God given them the land?
Yes.
Absolutely. God had given them the land. So he was sending these men in. And this is why he was sending them in. Deuteronomy 1:19. "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea." So he's talking about the same time. "And I said unto you, You are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers had said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." So they had God had given them the land, and their job was to believe God's promise, because the word had been given. The word that was given was, "This is your land. Go and possess it. Don't be discouraged." Verse 22. "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come." They came to him and said, "Well, why don't we go and spy out the land and see how we go in?" And it says in verse 23, "And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." And that's what we just read. Let's go back to Numbers. So God had never said for them to go and do a reconnaissance mission. God just told them to take the land. The word that God had given them was, this is yours. This land is yours. You go possess it. Don't be discouraged. And they came to Moses and said, "Can we go take a look?" And he said, "Yeah, sure. Go take a look." So this is when he's letting them go in and to go take a look at that land. No mention here whatsoever of whether they were to go in or not. That's never was never even an issue. The word of God had clearly been given to them. So verse 13:21. "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto these various places. And verse 23, and they came onto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down these grapes that were so big that they carried them between two men. Verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So there they did their little recce mission. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land, the grapes, the pomegranates, and the figs, and all these wonderful things. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Just exactly like God had said, it's going to be a wonderful land, and that's exactly what it is. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, look, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. God had told them, be courageous. Don't be discouraged. Go and possess it. So that's the word that was given. Now this person, these guys here say, we're not able to do this. They're stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that, the land itself eats people, that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came up of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all the congregation, chapter 14, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So they're not, so far, they haven't really responded to the word that God had given them. Except for Caleb, and we'll see Joshua and Moses, of course, but they cried. So he told them, be courageous, don't be discouraged. They were afraid and they were discouraged. Exactly the opposite to what God had told them. God never said to them, go check it out to see whether we should go in or not. He said, just go. In fact, it was their idea to go. He just said, go possess it. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt, where, by the way, we were throwing our babies into the water? Because that's a lot better than this. Like, it's unbelievable how people forget what God has delivered them from. You know, believers even, like, you know, after years of knowing God's word, sometimes we forget the first day we got saved, got born again of God's Spirit, and the blessings of that, and how, what it delivered us from, and what we're looking forward to. Here they're all, it'd be better if we were back in Egypt. Sure it was. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, then searched the land of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They were grieved at this nonsense. And they spake unto all the children of the children of Israel company, saying, the land which we passed through to search is a good land. That's exactly what God, an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and did the Lord delight in them?
Yes,
it's clear. The word had been given. That's the point making. When God gives his word, you can stake your life on God's word. The question you got to ask is, do you have God's word for it? They had God's word for it. They could stake their life on it. And Joshua tried to encourage them. The Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye. And then what's the rebelling? It's the rebelling against his word. He gave his, it's not like God is standing there and they're fighting with him physically. He gave his word and they're not believing. That's rebelling against the Lord. For they are bread for us. And I could mean a couple things. That we'll eat them up, or One person said it's like the manna that melted every day in the sun. You know, they're bread for us. They'll just melt before us. Not sure. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the response, the people, all the congregation, bade them, let's stone them. Let's kill them for this. Let's stone Moses and Aaron for encouraging us to believe God. Wow. These are believers. Mm-hmm. They're with Moses. Who needs enemies, right? With stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared. Bad news. Appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation. And my, let's start again from you, Moses. Let's get rid of them all, and we're going to start just with you. And Moses said unto the Lord, well, hold on. Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest us up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, are among the people, that they, you know, like he said, look, they're going to start talking badly about you. You don't want them to say bad things about you, do you? They know that you're with them. So if you don't do this and take care of them, they're gonna speak badly of you. Verse 15, now if thou kill all these people, then it's not going to be good. Verse 16, because the Lord was not among able to bring the people into the land, which he's, you know, this is, to me, I read this record, and it's just like the record of Abraham and God bartering him down to number of people. Here's Moses saying, are you sure you want to do this? I'm going to show you, you know, the kind of close relationship you can have with God. And this guy's, Moses was a servant, right? That he would talk to God and say, well, are you sure you want to do this? No. Verse 17. And now I beseech thee, Lord, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. By the way, God, you're a long-suffering God, aren't you? You're of great mercy. You think God doesn't know any of this? Just a wonderful record. Forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, with visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even God, you've forgiven them so many times. Would you forgive them one more time? Wow. And the Lord said, all right, I have pardoned according to thy word. I have pardoned according to thy word. That's what he said to Moses. Listen, I can't even get my head around that. Wow. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and that's literal, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. These guys were worried about their children dying and all this stuff. That's what they said. Our children are going to die, and what's going to happen? Well, they were dying back in Egypt anyway. In fact, they were dying by their own hands. Okay, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Is the word that God had given originally to go into the promised land good any longer?
No.
It's finished. The word had been given. They rebelled against the Lord by not believing the word. And Moses had this little conversation with God. God hearkened to Moses. And then God changed the word that he had given. And said, now, he said in verse 25, I want you to turn and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. The word that he now gave them was that he wanted them to go to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you. your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Those two guys are going to go. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in. You said they were going to die? Well, guess what? I'm going to bring them in. But you're not going to go in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now 40 years, because they chose to rebel against the word that he had given them. They wandered for 40 years, and we're not going to read it, but when you read Joshua chapter 1, 40 years later when Joshua does bring them in, what does God encourage them to do? Stick to my word. Meditate day and night. Don't forget it. Think about it. Put it in your head. That's 40 years later. So you think maybe trying to stand on God's word for your whole life is a good thing? Maybe it takes a few years. It doesn't matter. The whole point is there is nothing better to do than to stand on the word of God that God gives you. Nothing better at all. Let's see, verse 33. And your children shall wander, verse 34. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So every day for a year, 40 years, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil generate congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Their 10 guys died. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up onto the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, look, we're here, and we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. But didn't in verse 25 God change the word that he had given? So is the word that he originally gave to go into the promised land good anymore? No, it's not. He had changed what his word was. Now they're saying, well, we're here, we've sinned, let's just go and do what God has given us to do. And the problem was God had no longer given that to them. Verse 41, and Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. See, if God's not in something what you're doing, it's not going to be prosperous. God was no longer in this situation. And Moses even warned them, saying, look, these guys do exactly the opposite. They had God's word twice. Both times they choose to do the opposite of what God's word says. Unbelievable. Verse 43. But the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presume to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. What had changed? What? There's only one thing that had changed from the first time God gave his word and the second time that God gave his word. The only thing that had changed was the word that he had given. It was the same people in the land, was it not? Mm-hmm. Had they just had another billion Amalekites show up from the ground? No, it's the same guys, same Canaanites, same. All the people in the promised land were exactly the same. The Israelites were all exactly the same. Same people, minus 10, and households maybe, I don't know. So what's the difference? The difference was that they no longer had God's word. What was the overwhelming decision an authority point in this record is the word that God had given. That is what was going to make a make the difference between victory and success, was the word that he had given. Because when he gives his word, he is behind his word. When his word's not in it, it does not prosper. So, you know, the thing that's always good for us to ask is, well, do we have God's word for it? Because if we've got God's word for it, we can stake our lives on it. Look at, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's only two options that you're faced with when it comes to God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, which is good because it's hard to process too many other options in life, isn't it? Yeah. By the way, the rest of God's word that he said in that record, and we just read in Numbers, about all those 20 years old and upward dying, did they die?
Yes.
Yeah, they all died. And after 40 years, did they make it in?
Yeah.
Yeah, so his word was always good. So the word that he did give them was still good. He changed it because of what they did, but then the new revelation, information he gave them, right in the money. Right? They died, and those guys went in with Joshua afterwards, including Caleb, and Joshua went in. Exactly what he had said. When he gives his word, you can believe it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, this is Paul and Thessalonica, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So there's the one option that we have to God's word, which is to believe it. The other option is in Hebrews. I know this is real complicated stuff. Hebrews 4. And when you have God's word for something, whether it's the written word or specific revelation for a situation like we saw in the book of Numbers, you have two options still. One is in Thessalonians, the other one is in Hebrews 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. They heard it. They both heard it. Those who believed it, it profited. And the other option is to not believe it. So the result of going from the results that God's word promises, just like in the book of Numbers, just like anywhere else in the book in the Bible or anywhere else where you have specific information, the results are guaranteed when you believe it. But if you don't believe it, there are no results. And it's a very simple way to look at it, but that's the truth. So when I'm looking at God's word, and I see a promise in God's word, if I haven't seen that word come to pass in my life, there's a simple truth. I have not yet believed it. It may be a confronting truth, right? And that's fine. Truth usually is confronting. That's why a lot of people don't like to hear it. But that's what the word says. If I'm looking at a promise in the word of God and I have not seen it come to pass, I have a couple of options. All right. Let's go back to Numbers. I want to show you another verse in Numbers 11. I love this verse, Numbers 11. Earlier in the book of Numbers. And that's perfectly okay. If I say, you know, if you say to me, well, Raj, I know you're trying to believe this promise, but you know, society being what it is, you know, and the current political party was in power or was in power or might be in power, or I can understand how that might impact you and not seeing this come to pass, you know. Well, that's silly. You know, if my believing, my faith, my confidence in God is dependent upon the political party in the country or anything else, what can I do about my believing? Nothing. But if I know that God's word says, listen, if you believe this effectually, believe this, it will bring the results that it promises, and then I have not seen those particular results that I want to see, well, you know, I can look at how I can understand that particular promise better and learn to believe that promise. If it's owing to my childhood or my friends, or, you know, all the other things which have impacts, but in the end, then I can't do anything about it, can I? But if it's, you know, Numbers 11, I love this verse, Numbers 11, 21. And Moses said, this is when they wanted food in the wilderness. They say, you know, where they're thirsty for what they did. They also wanted bread and they wanted flesh to eat. Verse 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffer to suffice them? Or shall all the flesh of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? All, everything in the ocean. How are we going to find all this meat? And look, God's promise. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand wax short? He goes, look, Moses, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. I love that response. He goes, are you telling me? I love their conversations. You know, we just had a wonderful conversation where God, you know, he says to Moses, God, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's going to look really bad. You know, they say you're among us, and if they see you're not among us, then they're going to make, okay, fine, Moses, fine, I'll do it. And this one here, he says, where are we going to get all the food in the world? He says, look, is my hand waxed short? You watch. You wait to see if my word comes to pass or not. I love that verse. Well, how about that is a great promise to you and me? Do we think that God's hand is waxed short? Is he no longer able to do what his word says is he able to do in our lives? I almost hear God say, Rod, you wait to see whether my word to come to pass to thee or not. In other words, you watch this. Sort of like what he said at the Red Sea, isn't it? He goes, okay, Moses, stop talking now, right? Why are you doing all this? You watch and watch the salvation of the Lord. You know what he said? Yes. You just raise your hand, your staff, and you watch what I can do for you. You know, great things to keep in our minds, not the back of our minds, the forefront of our minds when we're learning to believe him and continuing to believe the promises we know to be true. God's hand isn't waxed short. Did they get flesh? Did the Red Sea part? Did they make it into the promised land? You know, time and time and time again, when they believed the word that was given, it always, always worked. And in 1 Peter chapter 21, 2. Chapter 21? How about 2? 1 Peter 2. Then you ask yourself the question, so what else do we have God's word on? Mm-hmm. Well, we can't answer that question in one fellowship. I thought we'd look at a few promises that we know are there in God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. What a great section. You know, by his stripes we are healed. That promise is in God's word. It's been there since the days of Isaiah, since the days of Exodus, when way back then, when God told him, I am the Lord that heals you, still there. So, you know, that promise is steadfast. Do we want to make a captain and go back into Egypt on that promise? Or do we want to stick to that promise and continue to believe that promise until we see the effectual results of that promise that God's word promises? We know when we have God's word, it's good. Is there all of a sudden, do we want a different solution, or do we want to continue with the solution that we know to be true, which is God's word? Do we have God's word on it? In more ways than one, that by the stripes of Jesus Christ we were healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's a promise in God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Along the same lines, Matthew 8. Record of the centurion. Matthew 8:5 is when Jesus was. By the way, I asked the question: do you want to go back to Egypt? It's like they had seen so many miracles and so many blessings that they had, and yet they still chose to forget about all that and find an alternative solution to God's word. There is no benefit in seeking for alternative solutions to God's word. Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. See, he wanted to hear God's word. He wanted God's word on the situation. And my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go and he goeth, another he come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard that, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Once he had the word was given. He believed the word, and it brought the results that God always promises. In James chapter 1, here's another wonderful promise. The word of God says the scripture cannot be broken. It says that forever, O Lord, thy word is established in the heavens. Jesus Christ was the living word. Not a bone of him was broken. Just like the scripture cannot be broken. The word of God is set. You know, these promises we're looking at, and you know, as we know, there are two different kinds of promises God gives you. One, some of those that are set here, and those that are for specific situations. In either situation, the response to is to believe that word given until it comes to pass. In James, you know, chapter one, verse five. If any of you would lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you need an understanding and information in a situation, here it says to ask God. And God gives liberally. But there's a condition. Verse 6, but let him ask in what? Believing. You know, everything, the only time we get the results of God's word, and I may seem really simplistic, but it's the truth, is when we believe it. So if I'm going to ask God, God says, you're going to ask me, but when you ask me, believe that I'll give it to you. Ask in believing, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded how? Well, what's the double-mindedness here? Is it whether either you believe God or don't? You can't do both at the same time. That's the point. Double-minded. Well, I'm going to look at this promise, but just in case this promise doesn't come to pass, I've got this in reserve. That's double-mindedness. You know, when they were on the edge of the Red Sea, there's only one way. They had no option. One side, the army, 600 chariots, iron chariots, and then the back of the ocean. You know, there was no... What are we going to... There was no crutch. Here, God says, you want to ask me for information? You need information? You need help? Here's a promise. Ask me. I'll give it to you liberally. But you better ask me believing that I'll give it to you. If you're double-minded, you're not going to get anything from me. In 1 Corinthians 14, these are all little promises. First Corinthians, but great promises. First Corinthians 14. In verse 4, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. He that prophesieth edifieth church. He that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself. That's a promise, isn't it? Well, If I say, well, I don't feel edified, I don't feel like I'm getting stronger spiritually, then I will ask myself the question, well, how much have you been speaking in tongues lately? It's a promise, but it's a promise that works if I do it and if I believe it. But everything in God's word, everything in God's word is received by believing. If it's not mixed with believing, then I don't get the benefits. If I want to ask God for information and I don't believe he can give it to me, I'm not going to get information. If I'm not going to speak in tongues, I'm not going to edify myself. See, we have God's word on it. If you have God's word on something, then if you follow what God's word says, then you will get the exact results that God's word promises. And if you haven't seen it happen yet, well, go and do it again. If you haven't seen it happen, well, go and do it. There's no alternative. Well, I always picture we're on the edge of the Red Sea always. Sea on one side and his arm on the other side. There's only one way out, and that's to believe God's word. There can be no crutch. There can be no double mind. There's no other alternative that we should seek after. You know, let's go back to Egypt where we can kill our babies. No, I don't want to do that. I don't think any of us want to do that. But those guys saw a lot of miracles, didn't they? They saw some amazing things. And yet, in their hearts, they still wanted to go back against and rebel against the word that had been given. You know, those are good examples to us. We don't want to rebel against the word that's been given to us. We want to confess it and continue to confess it until it comes to pass. And then we'll close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There's a great analogy that a lot of men over the years have used when it comes to believing. And I think it's a good one. It helps concentrate on what we're doing. But it's always the analogy of a seed, the sower and the seed, right? The analogy that when a farmer plants a seed, I know they don't go plant the seed and the second day they go and dig it up and say, well, the seed is growing up. No, and the next day they dig it up again. Now, they tend to plant a seed and then they water it, and the sun comes and all that, and they water it, and then eventually it sprouts. Believing is the same way, is that if you know God's word, that's the seed, and you believe God's word, then the way you water that word every day is not to start looking at the symptoms and the problems you have and all the other things, but it's to go look at God's word more, and look at God's word more, and then water it with that word, and confess the truth of that word, and confess the truth of that word, and water it some more with the word of God, and encourage one another. It's not to look at the symptoms. It's not to complain about that. It's not to go dig up the seed. It's none of that stuff. It's to just water it more, because we know that that is true. Because when you have God's word on it, we know he brings it to pass, he'll stand behind it. It's for us to just believe it. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, you know the section. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, which we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Do we have God's word on this?
Yes.
It actually literally says it there even. It's interesting. It's the word itself, but in the word itself it says, this is by the word of the Lord. You want to talk about confirmation? This is God's word. We have God's word on this, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one of these words. So here it's by the word, and there's a difference in this promise, so than all the other promises. The other promises we looked at, we only looked at a few, and there are a lot more as we know. This promise here is going to come to pass whether you believe it or not. There's a difference, right? This one you don't have to believe. It's going to come to pass. So what is the believing involved in this promise? This promise, the believing is a little different. The believing involved in this promise is, well, how do I live my life knowing that's going to happen? If I really believe that's going to happen, then it impacts my living here now, does it not? If I don't believe it's going to happen, then it won't impact me. And the very truth that is going to happen, come to pass, I have no say in that matter. God has said it's going to happen, and that's wonderful, and it's going to take place. That wasn't the case with the promised land, was it?
No.
God said, do this. They didn't do this well. They got sidetracked for a while. But this one here, it's coming to pass. So the believing involved in this is for to live in light of that particular reality. So there's lots of promises in God's word, and we didn't look at just a few. Holy and without blame before him in love. We're righteous, complete in Christ, direct access to God, peace with God, sanctified, all our needs supplied. And it goes on and on and on. And we have God's word on all those. This is not special, specific revelation, is it? It's consistent. It's always given. That word is given. So you're free to believe. We're all free to believe those promises to their full extent right now. Absolutely. And if you need information in a situation, James, God gives liberally. But if we're going to ask for the information needed, well, we better believe that promise. Otherwise, we're not going to hear anything. So, simple. If we have God's word on it, we can stake our life on it. And because for God will certainly, as we've seen, bring it to pass. Yeah.